Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky on the hotline. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Greg. When are you going to allow us to dry out, pal? I mean, we need a little change in your weather forecast.
Tomorrow, about 10 o'clock.
Okay. All right, I'm counting on it, man.
It's gonna clean up for the weekend. Prevailing wage is back, Mike.
Yeah, scratch your head on that one, for heaven's sakes. You know, on one side, of the equation, the governor's asking for us to pay attention to how can we improve Michigan's attractiveness to economic development investment. On the other hand, let's do some more price fixing based on government. And on top of that, directly opposed to a very broad-based, highly supported citizen initiative that led to the legislature basically adopting the repeal of our prevailing wage laws. And so this governor, it just makes me scratch my head as to, you know, she wants us to partner on economic development opportunities, yet she wants to impose these kinds of wage requirements, and then still maintains that she wants to stop the progression of line five.
So do you want to hire construction workers on the cheap?
I want to hire construction workers on the competitive side. And any notion that hiring somebody is somehow subpar quality because of their wage is an affront and an embarrassment. And frankly, I think it's shameful to accuse people that they're subpar quality because of some artificial government-sponsored wage requirement. It should be offensive to all these hardworking folks that they're working to put money to put food on the table for their families and build a career. It's just it really is a confusing time in Michigan, based on the inconsistencies coming out of the executive office.
So, what is the prevailing wage?
The prevailing wage?
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to require certain types of government contracts that the local union wage would be required for anybody who contracts to do those projects.
Right.
And that, which means that if you want to compete on a job and you've got skilled workers who are willing to work for a different wage, you can't do that, and you'll have to artificially inflate your prices to meet a government requirement. And that is yet another example of why people are looking at Michigan and thinking, not so sure I want to make long-term investment here because of all of this craziness. And this was put to bed by citizens who spent their own time, energy, money, and efforts to circulate petitions to send a very clear message to the state of Michigan. And now it's, because of some obscure clause in the administrative rules, our governor seems to think that she can overrule the will of voters in Michigan. And it's just, again, if... you have to work backwards to the decision that Ford made recently to, make their next large, huge investment in outside of Michigan, when Michigan has been their home forever. And, it's not a mystery now that we're sending mixed signals, again, asking for the legislature to join her on developing some economic development tools, while at the same time insisting that we cannot complete Line 5. I just don't understand how you can reconcile those two things. President Biden coming to Michigan, visiting the operating engineers training facility, which I've been to, which, by the way, it's very impressive. If you go there, you can operate, literally, personally operate all the big equipment. It's really fun. But anyway, Biden coming, going to that site, joined by our governor, a massive group gathered there, 50 or 60 people, and then talk about infrastructure and why it's important to invest in economic activity and growing jobs, and at the same time insisting that we restrict and prevent the completion of Line 5, which is, by the way, the number one priority of the operating engineers. How's that for a confusing message?
So where do we stand on line five right now? Is it?
The governor and to a certain extent the attorney general have got it all blocked up. And now we've got President Trudeau in Canada joining and piling on, saying it's an infringement on a treaty that's been established between the two countries. Listen, if we're sincere and honest about wanting to make Michigan attractive to capital investment and jobs, then the very first thing we have to do is take Line 5 objection and opposition off the table. It is the safest and best plan long-term, not just for Michigan, but for the entire Midwest. And if we take that off the table, that would send a very strong signal that we're actually serious about making Michigan attractive to long-term capital investment.
Okay, voting. Why do you guys want to make it harder for us to vote, Mike?
What is it about what we did that makes it harder to vote, my friend?
Everybody's saying it's harder to vote now. Ottawa County Clerk, Republican, who co-chairs the Michigan Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee, questioning the changes. Quote, before we start turning legitimate voters away from the polls, we have to identify what problem it's solving. When it comes to voter fraud, voter fraud by impersonation, there's no data to say that's a problem.
So shall we wait until a problem occurs, or should we preemptively make sure that it's secure? In 2018, Michigan voters made massive changes in our voter and election laws. And through the process of the last two elections, we've discovered that those create some vulnerabilities. I'm not suggesting for a moment that it affected the outcome of 2020. What I am suggesting, and it is not a suggestion, it's a hard fact, that there's all kinds of places where that kind of hijinks could occur. And I simply don't understand why it isn't a simple calculus. Frankly, 80% of the people in Michigan agree with me and agree with the Senate that voter identification, proof of identity, so that your right to vote is secured by the fact that you prove that you're a citizen and that you're legit, you're registered to vote in Michigan. 80% of the people in the state of Michigan support that. And so I reject categorically and without question this notion that it's somehow a suppression. Plus, we've made it clear that anybody who needs an ID, that they think there's a financial or even physical obstruction to getting an ID, we'll fix that. We'll take care of that. It's off the table now, other than one small little detail. We tried to put that in the budget to fund it, and the governor basically said she'd vetoed it. We included it. So how's that for another inconsistency?
Well, she's going to veto it anyway, right?
She has sent very clear signals that she'll likely veto this once it gets to her desk. And so she's, once again, saying to the citizens of Michigan, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you agree with. I know better. I know better. And so I'm going to protect you by vetoing this.
Okay, I went to vote once and forgot my license, my ID. I didn't have it with me. I signed an affidavit. I did that one time. I can't do that anymore?
You can go. If you forget it, then you get a provisional ballot, and you can fill it out, and then you bring your ID back later, whenever it's convenient for you. You got 6 days to do it.
Now, those provisional ballots they could be a source of problem, couldn't they?
Only if we allow it. Only if we allow it. I have complete confidence. By the way, I know the clerk that you're referring to. I know him well.
Yeah.
And he is not the majority of clerks in Michigan supporting or opposing this. He asks reasonable questions, and Justin will. He's very creative and very smart, and he'll figure out how to navigate it. So I am not at all a bit concerned about it. And whenever he speaks, we all pay close attention because he's a very thoughtful guy.
He's one of your guys.
Sure he is.
Yeah.
Well,
Sure he is. That doesn't mean that there's not room for disagreement. And again, these are just simply doing things like, for instance, making sure that third parties outside of the state of Michigan aren't buying voting machines and investing in local election processes and people, making sure that, that we don't send out without request, unsolicited requests for absentee ballots. About 7 million of those were mailed out in this last election. And, you know, tell me how difficult it is to keep an eye on that. And again, we didn't see that how that would created a problem in the last election. But why do we wait until a problem occurs? Let's just we observe what the landscape is. We identify vulnerabilities. We address those vulnerabilities and build people's confidence in elections.
But the last election, you're okay with it.
Yeah, we spent, as you know, the Senate. I had a very rigorous committee assigned that I handpicked the members of and the chair, and I think they probably did the best review of the election process of any state, including the $10 million that was spent on an audit review in Arizona. And I think the results of ours was about as robust as they come. Mm-hmm. And the conclusions were clear, and the recommended actions that came out of that very long oversight process are the kinds of things that we're acting on now.
See, the real problem we have right now is lead. Our kids have lead in their system here in Michigan. We're one of the worst states in the country. Is anybody working on that?
Yeah, indeed. We have a water supplemental that's just about ready to be dusted off and sent to the governor that would provide enormous amounts of funding to accelerate local communities and their ability to replace lead lines. It's a result of the federal money that has flowed into Michigan. It is a proper and perfect use for that kind of money, and I hope the governor embraces it and signs it when it gets to her desk so that communities can accelerate their replacement of lead lines, you know, specifically in certain areas that are demonstrating that the data is problematic, like Southwest Michigan.
Scary, isn't it?
Well, I haven't seen the complete assessment of data yet. It looks like I think they identified 12 homes out of the entire community that have high lines, and so that by itself indicates that further analysis is required. But they're reacting properly, and this MDHHS is providing, if people want it, bottled water for the personal uses until that analysis is completed. I don't think it's going to end up being like what we experienced in Flint. I hope it doesn't, for heaven's sakes. But you know, those kinds of problems are real, and they're the ones where we should be paying attention versus do a grandstanding like trying to pander to unions by reversing the will of Michigan voters and inserting ourselves in the prevailing wage argument, for instance.
So did you catch any geese yet?
I don't go geese hunting.
Oh, don't you?
But I sure goose hunting. I sure do appreciate those that do. Nah, it's just my wife, Sue, doesn't. I don't need another reason to be out hunting. I got enough reasons now, and so I got to balance. I got to keep things in balance as well.
You see any turkeys?
I'm seeing a lot of deer.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of deer.
One of my grandsons was his first year hunting. He took himself through hunter safety all by himself online. He did it. He did signed up himself. Went through the field test. Got passed that well. And took him out last Friday night, week ago tonight, for the first time he's ever been hunting, the first shot he's ever made. I was sitting next to him, and he shot a nice buck, and now he thinks it's easy. Now he thinks it's just,
wow.
Grandpa, what's the big deal? You know, but it was a fun, fun night 1 week ago tonight.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Benjamin did a great job.
Hey, have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Take care.
Take care.